7 this morning. Romans chapter 7. Pray for this cold. It'll go on by. I'm tired of it already. Romans chapter 7. I'll read the chapter. It's one of my favorite chapters when it comes to what I come to the conclusion several years ago in studying this chapter, that any person that gets saved by God's grace, that don't understand the struggles of life between the two natures. We all have two natures since we've been saved, and we're all still have the problem of sin within our bodies. And a lot of newborn Christians that just get saved by God's grace don't understand the struggles between the new man and the old man, or the unsaved person you used to be and the newborn person that you are now. And Romans chapter 7 explains it. And the question is how to get rid of sin. And just because we're saved by God's grace does not mean that we don't still struggle with this matter of sin in our bodies. But Romans chapter 7, verse 1, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how the law has dominion over man as long as he liveth. For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." Now he's just given the illustration here, and it begins in verse 4. "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death." For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from a body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, the problem that I wrote down here is how to get rid of sin. And I'm talking about saved and unsaved, but this is dealing mostly, chapter 7 is dealing mostly with saved people. Now, the problem of sin is the burden of our inward man. Now, every person here, if you'll be honest with yourself, will have to admit our old nature responds daily to the appeal of sin from the outside. Now, this is one of the burdens of life on our way home to heaven. And every Christian mourns and despises ourselves because of this reality. Paul faced this problem in Romans chapter 7, verse 15 and 16. He said, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consider the law that is good." Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name now that you'll let the Holy Spirit explain what's going on in our members every day of our life, because there's no happiness without it. Let the Holy Spirit speak through us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, every person has found themselves thinking and doing things which we know to be sinful and wrong, and we hate ourselves for doing so. Now, we cry from within, "Why am I like this? Am I really saved? Can a saved person fall into such temptations? And how and why does such thoughts come to my mind? Why am I so surely tempted into sin?" The answer to these two questions is found in the twofold nature of every believer. If you never learn this truth, you'll never be happy and at inward peace with yourself as a Christian. When God saved you, He did not change your heart. He gave you a new heart, a brand new heart. Again, Romans chapter 7, verse 17. "Now it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Now verses 22 and verse 23. "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bring me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." That's in your body. Now, go back with me for just a minute, please, to 1 John chapter 5, I believe it is, in 1 John. There's a verse there that's very hard to understand if you don't understand these verses. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. That's where it's at. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. "Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." Now, a lot of the holiness people that believe that once you're saved that you cannot sin, if you sin, you're not saved. And they run to school on this 1 John 3 and verse 9. Listen to it again now, verse 9. "Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." Now let's go back for a minute and Romans chapter 7. A person cannot run from the law of sin. Every person still has the law of sin operating within him. A person does not mature to the point that this law of sin is eradicated. I had a preacher tell me one time, I've never since the day I got saved. I said, you just told the biggest lie in town. And it's the truth. Now, a person does not become a holy, godly, as to make them this law invalid. A person does not get so close to God that this law does not operate. A person cannot run from this law of sin. If you're in a crowd, it still operates. If you're alone, it still operates. If you're in the middle of a great victory, it still operates. Even sometimes in the greatest spiritual blessing, we must face up to the law of sin. Now, it's sad to say, because of the doors through which Satan can get to every man, some yield to temptation and sin. Nothing hinders the cause of Christ as somebody yielding to temptation and sin. Only by the grace of God have any of us kept the victory over sin. Now, because we have the two natures that we fight with every day. Now, everybody knows someone who has fallen into sin, and we've seen what sin does to them, and it ruins their lives and what it leaves behind. Now, how can you keep the victory over sin if victory is lost? How can we regain that victory? How can I get rid of sin? The Bible gives us the answer. We must first fact it as sin. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So a man must, if you want to get rid of sin, the first thing you have to do about sin is be real. A man can never deal with a sin problem and get victory over the ruin until he is willing to face up to the fact of his guilt. It's very easy to cover sin and deny one's guilt. Now, this may give you the appearance of a victorious Christian, but it will never give inward peace and inward victory. You must live with yourself. And whether you ever face up to your sin or not, you know the reality of it. It's not as easy thing to cry as David did. And listen to what he cried in Psalm 51, verse 2 and 3. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Now, someone wrote, the most difficult thing the Christian faces is to say, I have sinned. And it's true. We want to not think about it. But to face up to the guilt of sin is to learn to trust in Jesus rather than ourselves. It is to recognize the guilt of the flesh and to put no confidence in the flesh. It's to get the advantage over Satan as he seeks to defeat us. And it is assumed the right to attitude toward ourselves, and the law of sin is in our members. Now, to excuse sin, to cover up sin, to license sin, is to remain within its grip and to continue to suffer this penalty. To blame sin upon one's family or friends or hide from reality, to classify sin respectable as a sickness, is to open the door to Satan to more defeat and humiliation from the flesh and Satan. So, the first step in victory over sin is fact it. Make it real. It's sin. Period. I know people that say, well, I do this, but it's just a sickness. No, it's not. It's sin. And you got to fact it out to yourself. In order to get rid of sin, you must judge it as sin. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31 and 32 said, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. I've said this often, I can't get away with anything as a Christian. And any Christian can't get away with any sin in their life that the Holy Spirit won't judge you. If you judge yourself under that guilt, he'll reveal sin as it is unto you. We're to judge ourselves, in relation to sin. We are to judge sin in relation to what it really is. Now, we are to weigh sin, to know what sin truly is, and to know the end result and ruin of sin. I've watched so many people that has ruined their lives by getting stooped into sin. I'm talking about Christians now. But after a while, you see it. It comes out on them. You see it in their faces. You see it in they get older very quickly, and they age quickly, and so on, and you can see it literally within them. Four things about judging sin. Judge sin as transgression. That is overstepping of God's law, which is the divine boundary between good and evil. You know what God does when you get saved? He draws a line. He draws a line. He said, don't step over this line. Don't step over my laws. And this overstepping is deliberate and willful. It is done with full knowledge of the law. We sin deliberately and willfully. Our eyes open, so to speak. Judge sin as transgression. Stepping over God's holy law. Number two, judge sin as a rebellion. Sin is rebellion. To know God's law and God's will, and then to sin against God's law and will is rebellion. You remember, you go back in the Old Testament and God talked about his children, the children of Israel, and he was always talking about their rebellion against him. The very first act in a sinful deed is rebellion, Adam and Eve. And ever since, many angels fell with Satan because of rebellion. Sin, like King Saul, disobeyed God because of sin of rebellion. It runs against the grain to classify ourselves as rebels against God. In other words, if I do a little something wrong and the Holy Spirit said, you're just rebelling against God. Well, I don't want to face up to that. Amen. I don't want to admit that I'm rebelling against God. But you've got to do it if we're to get rid of sin. And then number three, judge sin as destructive. Now, sin destroys. Did you know that sin never lifts up or builds up? Sin destroys peace of soul and mind that God's will you could enjoy if you're in God's will. Sin destroys the power and the passion of every soul winner is dependent upon. Sin destroys the harmony and fellowship of the home. Sin destroys the channel of prayer. Sin destroys our reward at the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, face up to it that sin, if you judge it correctly, you'll see it destroys, it never uplifts. Judging sin as destructive and not as a beauty and not as fun will enable us to get rid of sin and gain the victory. Then fourthly, judge sin as to be found out. Numbers 32, verse 23. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sin will find you out. Now, sin may be covered up for a while, but not for long. Sin may be fade with out for a while, but not for long. And so you have to judge sin as to be found out. As old preacher said something one time long years ago, it was preaching in my presence, I never will forget. He said, don't sin with the saints because they'll get their hearts right and tell on you. And it's the truth. You think you're getting by with sin? No, you're not. You'll be found out. Now, in order to get rid of sin, you must confess it. In 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this confession must be honest and sincere. I never forget Dr. Rice, now Bill Rice, preaching on this subject of 1 John 1, 9. And he said, most Christians read that verse And they just come to God and say, "Oh Lord, I have sinned against you." And they leave it there. But that ain't what it says. We're to confess our sins. You know what it is? That's naming them. Naming them. Not just shooting out there like a shotgun and covering everything. "Lord, I have slipped up and I've cussed today. Lord, I've slipped up and I've told a lie today. Lord, I've done whatever you've done." Confess that to God and He'll forgive you of it. And that's confession of sins. Now, and this confession must be honest and it must be sincere. Sin is to be confessed to the Lord. He alone is our great high priest. He alone is our mediator. Now, I know a lot of people that come and I tell them right up front. They come in, "The preacher, I need to talk to you." And they got the idea that a preacher is a priest and he can forgive their sins or give them ease of their sin. And they'll start confessing everything they've ever done wrong to a preacher or some priest. My sin ain't against a preacher. My sin's not against a priest. My sin's against God. And I heard a man explain this one time. He said, suppose you had sinned against this Johnny, and Henry comes along, and you just poke Henry right in the nose and hit him back and get even for it. But Johnny's the one who done the sin. And you ask Henry, Johnny's to forgive you of hitting Johnny in the nose. In other words, you got to say, "I'm sorry to the one that did it, that you offended." And we don't offend men, we offend God. Amen. Our sins offend God. And if I come in and I tell you, "I'm sorry that I've sinned, and I confess everything I've done to you," what good is that going to do? You're not the one I offended. I offended God. And so I got to go to God and confess to Him everything. Sin is to be confessed and forsaken. Now, what use is it to confess I'm guilty if you're not willing to turn from your sin? And then number 3, when sin is confessed, we are to trust in the promises of God's Word. I love this. My favorite verse when it comes to this, God said, if, and that's the biggest word in that verse, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. Now, when sin is confessed, we're to trust in the promise of God. He'll forgive. Amen. True confession shows faith in God's promise to forgive. The two go hand in hand. I trust God that He will forgive me. He loves me. He saved my soul. And if I confess it, I really believe He'll forgive me. Confession is a deliberate and complete exposing of ourselves to God. No holding back. Nothing covered. It is free and voluntary. No one makes you confess. Only you can do that. God convicts you, but He will not make you confess. You have to do that out of your own voluntary heart. And then, in order to get rid of sin, one must put sin out of his life. Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitfulness of lust. Putting off the old man is a lifetime job. It's an everyday job. We're commanded to crucify ourselves daily. That's the way to get victory over sin. Ephesians 4 verse 22 tells us 3 things about the old man. First, he is corrupt. You cannot place confidence in your flesh. Jesus said, that which is flesh is flesh. In other words, you can't change it. Secondly, he is deceitful. The old man is deceitful. The flesh is the old man. Many persons have fallen into sin because he's been deceived. Thirdly, he is lustful. Lust is in everybody. And we must constantly fight off lust of the flesh. So, to get rid of sin, you must put off the old man. Now, one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible is Romans chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. And listen to this. Oh, wretched man that I am. That's a confession. Who shall deliver me from the body of this sin or death? There's only one that can do that. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 is very important here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Didn't say anything about the soul and the spirit. It said your bodies. And be not conformed to this world. Body. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Jesus' blood is the only way to get rid of sin. But ye must, it must be made aware of sin. Confess sin and renew your mind. Now that's victory over sin. And what most people don't realize, that after you're saved by God's grace, we're still in this old sinful flesh. We still do things we don't want to do. We don't do the things we ought to do. And it comes up in our life. And you know, a lot of Christians get defeated and they just want to give up. I mean, just get tired of fighting sin. But you know what I've learned the hard way? That you got to fight sin 24 hours a day. You got to be aware of it. You got to confess it. It's real. It's real in your flesh. And if you want to have a happy life, I remember when I used to do something and I'd lay there all night worrying about it. And it just fretting over it. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't want to do that. And yet I did it. And after a while, I learned as a Christian, if I do something wrong, I don't care what it is, name it. If I do something wrong, my sin is against God. And before I go to bed, I'm going to ask Lord, forgive me. And I'm going to name it what it was. I want to get it out because I learned something. My sin is against Thee, O Lord. And if I'm going to have a good night's rest and I'm going to have peace of mind, I must get myself right with God. Amen. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about getting right with your fellow man. But when it comes to the sin matter, you got to get right with God. And you start by confessing it, getting it out clear that this is what I've done, and Lord, I want you to forgive me. And a lot of Christians are defeated because they never do that. They don't ever come to the place, Lord, I want you to forgive me. And you got to remember something. Jesus said it, once I forgive you sin, it's gone. Amen. Now, you might bring it up to me. My flesh might bring it up to me. But you know where victory is at? When I ask Jesus to forgive me of something, the old devil comes around and says, you remember what you did 10 years ago? You know what I tell him? Go home, leave me alone. It's gone. It's gone. I'm not there anymore. Amen. And I'm free from that sin. And that's victory over sin. Father, would you bless in the coming hour now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. Don't turn.